Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Back to the text. And the text, of course, in this case, is the third epistle of John. We started our study in this little epistle on Monday, and we will continue until we have completed it. And when we have, well, that means we will have completed all three epistles of John on the Beacon broadcast. First John is fairly well known and rather commonly studied. Second and third John, very short, are not as widely known and not as commonly studied. And that's a shame, because even though they are short, they contain some very, very vital truth. As I trust you agree, if you were with us during the study in 2 John, and I trust to also enlist your enthusiastic agreement before we have completed our study in 3 John. So thank you for joining me this day, which is Thursday, June the 13th. Thank you for helping us with the financial costs necessary to keep this broadcast on this station. Well, there are four men referred to in this epistle. They are John, Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. And every one of them can teach us something important. And the first one, of course, is John himself, the Apostle John, the author of this epistle, who introduces himself, identifies himself, I guess I should say, as the elder. As we read in the first two verses, which serve as the introduction to the epistle, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. And so we begin with our study of John, a faithful apostle who is faithful in leadership, indicated, among other things, by the term the elder that is applied to him at this time in his life. Faithful to the truth. Truth is mentioned seven times in this epistle, the shortest epistle in the New Testament. It has 14 verses, and seven times truth, the word truth, is emphasized, and the concept of truth is emphasized. The importance of truth is emphasized. And we see it here even in the opening where John says, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. In truth. John had a special love for others who loved the same truth that he loved. John, known as the apostle of love, could just as accurately and maybe more helpfully be known as the apostle of truth. He, like all the apostles, recognized that the most important thing in the Christian faith is truth. Yes, perhaps the most important commandment is to love one another, but everything depends upon truth. If the truth of the gospel is undermined, then there will be no one saved. There'll be no brothers to love. We won't love the brethren because there won't be any brethren. In fact, there won't be any of us to love the brethren. Now, I'm speaking, of course, hypothetically, because in the divine omnipotence and sovereignty of God, that's never going to happen. But God saves people by the proclamation of truth. God keeps people through the proclamation of truth. God preserves the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in a world that is determined to destroy it. It is preserved by a proclamation of truth. We can't let the truth go. And there are, unfortunately, many Christians, many preachers in our day that somehow think that we can advance the cause of Christ by compromising truth, by downplaying truth, not emphasizing it, by minimizing it, by altering it. And it's all based upon human reasoning. And it goes in various directions, but sometimes we're told that, well, truth is divisive and the most important thing is to be unified. And Christ prayed for the unity of the church in John chapter 17. And we need to be unified. And one of the reasons why the church isn't making more progress in our day is because it's fractured and splintered. And if we would just be more unified, then we would be more effective because we would be presenting a more united front to the world. And so because doctrine divides, then we will minimize doctrine, which is another word for teaching, which is another word for truth, and we will just emphasize love. But John's got it right here in the third epistle of John, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Any love that is not connected to truth is a sentimental folly. It really is. It's just sentimentalism without any substance. And a lot of what passes for love in our day is exactly that. The only kind of love that is real love, godly love, substantial love, significant love, is love based in truth. And John understood that. Some in our day take the position that, well, because there are certain truths in Christian doctrine that are unpalatable to the world, we'll have to either drop those, or at least we must not emphasize them because people will reject them. They will mock them. They will belittle us because of them. They're not going to accept them. And because people won't accept these particular doctrines, then we have to, as it were, hide them, if not totally discard them, and present to the world the things that are acceptable, the things that they will receive favorably. And that's the way to advance the cause of Christ. Dear friend, dear friend, dear friend, if you think that way, stop thinking that way. Don't you understand that if you corrupt the truth, it doesn't matter whether that corrupted form of Christianity survives or not. It's worthless. It's worthless. A corrupted Christianity is worse than no Christianity. It's worthless. And furthermore, don't you understand that the advancement of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which depends upon the proclamation of truth, will advance successfully only as the Holy Spirit causes that truth to be received into hearts. Of course men reject truth. That's the condition of the human heart. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Well, then how will he ever receive them? Well, because they are spiritually discerned, the verse goes on to say. In other words, they are believed, received, honored, loved, obeyed only as the Holy Spirit of God works in hearts. We don't control that part. The Holy Spirit, like the wind, blows where he wishes. We hear the sound, but we cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So is everyone who is taught of the Spirit. It's our responsibility to proclaim the truth as it has been delivered to us. No changes, no alterations, no apologies. To proclaim the truth as it has been delivered to us and leave it to God the Holy Spirit to make it acceptable to men as it pleases Him. He's not going to make it acceptable to everybody. And all of those to whom He does not choose to make it acceptable are going to find it unacceptable. And we can't change that. And to try to improve that situation by changing what we proclaim only makes things worse, because we are now no longer proclaiming the truth that the Holy Spirit uses to change men's hearts. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. By the hearing of the Word of God, not the Word of men, not the Word of scholars, not the Word of professors, not the Word of intellectuals, not the Word of modern churchmen who have a better understanding. I am so sick and tired of hearing people say, well, that's the way things used to be, and that's the way we used to do things, but times have changed. Times have changed. And because times have changed, then we have to change with the times. Now, what do you mean by that? If you mean by that, times have changed, and men no longer wear pantaloons, and women no longer, as a matter of course, wear their skirts down to the ankles and tie their hairs up in buns like they used to do in a previous day. Times have changed, and we have to change with the times. I've got no problem with that. That's not significant at all. Of course, clothing styles change. Of course, many things change. But one thing, well, more than one thing, does not change. The human condition does not change. The makeup of the nature of fallen man does not change, has not changed. And furthermore, the gospel has not changed. The Bible has not changed. The Word of God has not changed. The Word of God that God uses to accomplish His work has not changed, and His method of working has not changed. It's still the Holy Spirit causing the Word of God to find reception in hearts that are prepared by the Holy Spirit of God to receive it. That's it, folks. We're dependent upon that. We are shut up to that. There is no other way to advance the cause of Christ. Changing the message only corrupts the product. So what good does it do if we somehow manage to attract more people to our church, to our altered version of Christianity, and we have churches that are more full, but they are filled with people who have no interest in truth, whose hearts have not been changed, who have not been born again, who do not have a love for truth because they have not been given that love by the work of the Spirit of God in their hearts? They love something else. They love community. They love social works. They love social progress. They love all kinds of things. They love religion, but they don't love Christ. They don't love the Bible. They don't love the Christ of the Bible. They may say they love Christ, who is a different Christ from the biblical Christ, but they don't love the Christ of the Bible. Well, what now have we accomplished with that? We've only made things worse. We've only confused the issue. No, no. We've got to get back to the understanding the Apostle John had when he said, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth." May God help us to love the truth and never let it go. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.